If you would join me in prayer. Gracious God, we ask that you would speak to us today, that you would encourage us and challenge us, that you would teach us. Help us know more of who you are and who you have made us to be, and then help us to be changed. Lord, we thank you that you are a God who speaks. Help us to hear. Amen. Well, it's springtime here in Texas, which means that allergies are abundant. It means that the weather is weird, and it means that all of the plants are trying to grow as fast as they can before the hot of summer finally arrives. Despite all the precautions that we're taking due to the virus, maybe because of some of them, at some point in the last couple of weeks, the Galligans decided it was time to put some seeds in the ground and see if we couldn't grow a harvest this year in our garden. And so despite the fact that a lot of the stores are harder to get to right now, we got some seeds, we've planted them. But of course, there are some real challenges that we are facing this year. The first of these is that we have a 2-year-old, 90-pound, let's call him puppy, named Frisco, who has learned that the best thing in the whole entire world is to eat sticks. Sticks of any size, any shape, even if they're still attached, even if they're still growing in the ground, even if it's a tree, sticks are wonderful to eat. Needless to say, our first crop of pumpkin seedlings, which were the first ones to sprout from the ground, the first ones to grow into a legitimate little plant, one day fell victim to looking too much like a stick. Our second crop of pumpkin seeds are doing much, much better. Thanks for asking. We have them higher up, and so they can't be gotten just yet. But the other challenge that these little seedlings are facing this year is simply the variety of weather that Texas always gets during this time of year. New seedlings only have the bare minimum of root, and so one hot day without water is more than enough to dry up all of the soil and wither the plant away to nothing. One real Texas rain is all it takes to pound a new seedling right back into the dirt, or to empty the container of all the soil and the seeds, and then to clean out the container as well. And then there's the wind that whips through our backyard and doesn't seem to have any trouble just laying a plant flat against the ground, if not blowing the whole potted plant right across the yard. At which point, oh look, stick. All that to say, it's serving a nice reminder to me about how important nurturing deep and good roots really is. You don't need deep roots all the time when everything is going well, when you're in the hot house and you're being cared for and nurtured very carefully. But once you get out into the real world, or for the truly brave and tough Texas, suddenly having something that helps nurture you, helps connect you, helps ground you, starts to matter more. Of course, this is made even more real as we extend our conversation beyond just the world of backyard plants, as we extend the conversation even maybe into our actual lives. Everything is fine for most of us as long as everything is fine. But what happens when you're quarantined, stuck at home indefinitely? Or what happens when you aren't, but you should be? What happens when you're furloughed and laid off work? Or when you're overwhelmed by work, stressed out because of work? What happens when you're sick, or hurting, or afraid, or bored, or lonely? What happens when everything is not fine? Suddenly it matters that you have something that nurtures you, something that connects you, something that grounds you. Or in the words of this sermon series, suddenly being in Christ matters. But before we dig deeper into all of that, let me tell you where we're going. Today we are continuing our series looking at the book of Colossians. More than that, we're looking deeper into this idea of being in Christ, which, as we've been talking about for the last couple of weeks, is this idea that somehow we as Christians are located in Christ. We are members of and citizens in the kingdom of God here and now. But therefore, we're probably called to live a different way, to be a certain kind of people. Wherever else we are also, and more importantly, citizens in the kingdom of God. But therefore, we probably need to act like it. We need to live that way. Suddenly, it becomes important that we are living in Christ. But let me back up even further, because we're also studying the letter of Colossians, written by Paul while in prison to the church in Colossae. And he's hoping to make them feel a little bit more connected, hoping to encourage this little church, hoping to help them feel more grounded despite all of the challenges that they're facing. It strikes me that this may be a helpful message for us as well, for maybe the same reason. So let's go ahead and turn in our Bibles to Colossians chapter 2, verse 1. Since most of you are in your homes right now, it's easier for me to say this. It's always better when you read the scriptures in your own Bible. Often I'll encourage people to bring their Bibles to church. That doesn't help you right now because no one else is here in the room with me. But maybe you could bring the Bible with you to worship, right there wherever you are worshiping, and read it in your own Bible because it's always better in your own Bible. You may need to pause the video because I won't wait for you to do that, so go run quick and then come back. Additionally, we will be reading a little bit, we'll be talking a little bit, reading a little bit, talking a little bit, and that's going to be how we're going to work through this second chapter of the book of Colossians. One last thing before I read. It'll become evident by the time we get to the end of the chapter, but it doesn't start that way. This church in Colossae is facing some opposition. Their faith is under some external threat. Someone is trying to uproot them, to shake them, to undo them. And so Paul is working to nurture them, to connect them, and to ground them in Christ. So with all of that as background, we finally can begin. Colossians chapter 2, verses 1 through 3. I want you to know how hard I am contending for you and for those at Laodicea, and for all who have not met me personally. My goal is that they may be encouraged in heart and united in love, so that they may have the full riches of complete understanding, in order that they may know the mystery of God, namely Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. And let's stop there for a moment. Similar to where we left off last week, we start to see Paul in his work on behalf of these Christians. He is working and striving and contending and struggling for these Christians that he doesn't even know. And why? To what end? What is his purpose? What are his goals? Well, in our passage, he tells us. He wants them to be encouraged in heart, united in love. He wants them to know all the mysteries of God, namely Christ. And this has become urgent for Paul. It's important for him, probably for at least two different reasons. First, remember that Paul is under house arrest at this point in the story, and he may be starting to realize that things aren't going so well. He may be feeling his mortality a little bit at this point in the story, which makes this letter even more amazing. Paul is in dire straits. Paul is not doing well here, and so he's using this time to encourage others, to nurture others, to ground others. I mean, it's one thing to be encouraging and hopeful when everything is going well. When your tank is full, it's a little bit easier to then overflow that goodness into other people's lives. But what about when things are not going well? When things are hard, when resources are thin? Suddenly, it's a lot harder to be encouraging to someone else, which is what you would expect in Paul. Paul is in trouble. Paul is afraid. Paul is in prison. Paul is stuck. And things are not looking like they're going to get any better anytime soon. And so what does Paul do? Well, we'd expect him to just curl up on the couch and watch a lot of Netflix. Or we'd expect him to just be trying to get by with the bare minimum. But that's not Paul. He's writing letters. He's reaching out. He's working to get to know new people. He's hoping that he can encourage others, to nurture others. And not only nurture them, not only encourage them, but bind them together. Unite them in love. Keep them connected. Help them know that they are connected with other churches all over. Help them know that they are connected with Paul. Ultimately, help them know they are connected to God. Because Paul knows how important community really is. Paul knows it's important that people stick together. Paul knows that God's design for the church is that we are the body of Christ, all working together, all pulling in the same direction, all using all of our different gifts for God's goals. And so to that end, he reminds them of their love and God's love and his love, which he's hoping will unite them together. He's pointing them back toward community, which is one of the challenges of life. You see, when things are going well, it's easy to not focus too much on community. You don't need to be that vulnerable with people. You don't want to share that much. There's just not time. We're so busy doing all the things we're normally doing that who has time for community? And then things aren't going well. And the one thing you need, the one thing we all have learned is truly important is community. Except now it's so much harder to do the work of community. Partly because we're separate, but partly because when your tank is running dry, it's hard to reach out. It's hard to be a part of someone else's life. It's hard to help someone else when you are hurting. And so if we're all hurting, it's hard to do community well. Which is why it's so important that we are connected. It's why it's so important when times are going well again that we are connecting, that we are being vulnerable together, that we are being a community, so that you know you have the resources when times get tougher. Even at this point in the letter, Paul is working to bind them together better. But if you remember, I told you that there are probably two reasons why this is so important for Paul. It's not just that this is who he is and what he does, but he's also has become aware of some voices of opposition, of misdirection, of criticism and cynicism and doubt that have somehow come to this church of Colossae. And as we'll see in a moment, these people with fine-sounding arguments are trying to lead this church astray. And so Paul is hoping to ground them into something deeper, namely the mystery of God, namely Christ. Because you see, it's in him that are hidden all the wisdom and knowledge and understanding of creation, of God. In other words, there are times when arguments and philosophies sound right, but the real solution, the real mystery of life is found in Christ Jesus. But therefore, I think Paul is encouraging this church to dig in, to do the work, to work toward learning more, connecting more, being grounded more in who Christ is. so that they won't be blown from side to side through the storm. Nurtured, connected, and grounded. But let's keep reading. Colossians chapter 2, verses 4 through 7. I tell you this so that no one may deceive you by fine-sounding arguments. For though I am absent from you in body, I am present with you in spirit and delight to see how disciplined you are and how firm your faith in Christ is. So then, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live your lives in Him, rooted and built up in Him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught and overflowing with thankfulness. And let's stop there for just a few minutes. In this section, Paul expresses how proud he is of the Colossians. He is excited about them. He is impressed by their discipline. He is impressed by how firm they are in their faith in Christ, even and maybe especially in the face of the challenges that lie before them. But then Paul gets a little more specific about what he's hoping for them. He wants them to continue to live their lives in Christ. There it is again. This idea of being located in Christ, living our lives in Christ. Of course, we still have to deal with these questions. So what does that mean? What does that look like? How does one live in Christ? Well, Paul goes on to explain it. We need to be rooted in Him, built up in Him, strengthened in our faith in Christ, strengthened by Him. And again, we see the pattern we've seen in this sermon. We need to be rooted or grounded in Christ. We need to be built up together or connected in Christ. We need to be strengthened in the faith or nurtured by Christ. It's where we started, but I'm drawn back to this image of being rooted again. Because most of us, and our world for that matter, simply live with shallow roots. We live with no margin in our lives. We live with no mission for our lives. We live with so much filling our lives that nothing grounds our lives. And then a storm comes and we're shaken. Then we spend time in solitude and we're afraid or feel alone. Then when we don't know what's happening or we're feeling out of control, we get anxious, we get uncertain, we get exhausted. And it's to people like these, or people like us, that Paul explains that there's a better and deeper and firmer way to live, something we can be grounded in, that we can hold on to, someone who will hold on to us. And therefore, living in Christ becomes a better foundation for us to build our lives on, to live by, to trust in. We can live our lives, build our lives on the kingdom of God, in the kingdom of the Son of God. And that would change everything. More than that, knowing that we are living in Him, knowing that we are trusting in Him, this should strengthen us even further because we are nurtured by Him. And we see it all again, grounded, connected, nurtured in Christ, living in Christ. But let's finish our passage as we look at the bulk of what's left. Colossians chapter 2, verses 8 through 23. See to it that no one takes you captive through hollow and deceptive philosophy, which depends on human tradition and the elemental spiritual forces of this world, rather than on Christ. For in Christ all the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form, and in Christ you have been brought to fullness. He is the head over every power and authority. In him you were also circumcised with a circumcision not performed by human hands. Your whole self, ruled by the flesh, was put off when you were circumcised by Christ, having been buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised with him through your faith in the working of God, who raised him from the dead. When you were dead in your sins and in the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made you alive with Christ. He forgave us all our sins, having canceled the charge of our legal indebtedness, which stood against us and condemned us. He has taken it away, nailing it to the cross. And having disarmed the powers and authorities, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross. Therefore, do not let anyone judge you by what you eat or drink, or with regard to a religious festival, a new moon celebration, or a Sabbath day. These are a shadow of the things that were to come. The reality, however, is found in Christ. Do not let anyone who delights in false humility and the worship of angels disqualify you. Such a person also goes into great detail about what they have seen. They are puffed up with idle notions by their unspiritual mind. They have lost connection with the head, from whom the whole body, supported and held together by its ligaments and sinews, grows as God causes it to grow. Since you died with Christ to the elemental spiritual forces of this world, why, as though you still belong to the world, do you submit to its rules? Do not handle, do not taste, do not touch. These rules, which have to do with things that are all destined to perish with use, are based on merely human commands and teachings. Such regulations indeed have an appearance of wisdom, with their self-imposed worship, their false humility, and their harsh treatment of the body, but they lack any value in restraining sensual indulgence. Amen. Now we finally get a small glimpse into what else has motivated Paul to start writing. Someone is working to take the Colossians captive through hollow and deceptive philosophy. Someone is working to cause them to feel judged, not religious enough, too religious, not religious in the right ways, not religious in the right places. Someone is working to make them feel like they are not enough. And yet this is precisely what Paul is working to address, as he reminds them that they are grounded in Christ, connected in Christ, nurtured in Christ. You see, all those arguments of the opposition would be valid, except you are in Christ, so what more do you need? You used to be dead in your sins, but now you are alive in Christ. You were vulnerable, but now you are unimpeachable, unassailable, because you are in Christ. But therefore, it is our job to seek him, to discover the mystery that is him, to live in him. And then all these other worries and concerns simply fall away, because we recognize that no matter what, we are living in the kingdom of the Son of God. And it's because of who he is and what he's done and how he reigns that we then need to change our focus, change our mindset, change our worldview as we strive to live in this world of his. See the world through his eyes. Strive to work with him in his world toward his ends. It changes everything. When you think about this, you can see what a change of mindset this really would require, how much work this will take, and yet how much depth can be found. A vine clings to an oak tree, and in so doing finds the protection in times of trial that preserves it. If a violent storm should arise and the vine is on the side of the tree away from the wind, the tree serves to protect the vine from the wind. which would otherwise tear it away and rip it into shreds. If the vine is on the exposed side of the tree, the wind serves only to press the vine closer to the tree it already clings to. In the storms of our life, God will at times set himself between us and the fury of the storm and so protect us from it. At other times, he will expose us to the storm so that its ravages may serve to press us closer to him. So the question for us, what are we clinging to? Are we clinging to something, someone stronger than the storm? Have we found the only thing that can ground us and connect us and nurture us no matter what? Are we living our lives in him? And this is the challenge that many of us are feeling and facing right now. You see, you don't need that much nurture or connecting or grounding when everything is going fine. But then something happens. Then there's some challenge, some opposition. There's a virus, there's a recession, there's who knows. And suddenly you find it's not enough. To make matters worse, it's hard to stock up on all of those resources in a time like this because everyone is hoarding everything they can get their hands on. There's not enough extra to go around. And yet we are called to live differently. We are called to live our lives in him as citizens of the kingdom of God. And because of that, we know that we are more nurtured, better connected, more firmly grounded because we are living our lives in him. And that is the challenge for us even today, to continue to live in him, no matter what. If you would join me in prayer. Gracious God, we ask that you would help us, that you would help us remember that our nourishment comes from you. Help us to remember to be connected to you. Help us remember to be grounded in you, to live our lives in you. Lord, you know there are so many other ways that we can view our lives, so many other things we can live to and for. And in times like this, sometimes we recognize how some of those things fall short. So Lord, help us to cling to you. Help us to refocus our minds upon you. Help us live to and for and in you. Lord, we thank you for your faithfulness. We pray these things in the strong name of Jesus the Christ. Amen. And now let us continue in our worship.